Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis. And this week, I watched the TED video. It's actually a couple years old. I just discovered it, but it's a video with Brené Brown talking about vulnerability and how it's viewed as being weak, but really it's courageous when you allow yourself to show who you are. And you can't get to courage without walking through vulnerability. She states that it's the birthplace of innovation, creativity, and change. And one thing she mentioned was she said the most vulnerable thing for men and women to do is to initiate sex. And today my guest will be talking just about that and other issues around sexuality. Lori Watson is the author of Wanting Sex Again. She's a certified sex therapist and licensed couples therapist. She lectures at Duke University's and University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill's medical schools on sexuality, intimacy, and relationships. She writes the Married and Still Doing It blog on Psychology Today's online magazine. In practice for more than 23 years, she is the clinical director for Awakening Center for Intimacy and Sexuality in Raleigh, North Carolina, where she's helped thousands of couples recover sexual passion and make love again in joyful, intimate, creative, and exciting ways, sometimes even after years of sexless marriage. Due to her many years of counseling experience, Lori remains incredibly hopeful that committed love and monogamous sex can fulfill a couple, heal deep wounds from childhood, restore each spouse to a sense of hope, and offer stability from which to face the world together. And her website is Awakenings Center, but that's awakeningctr.com, and also lauriewatson.com. So, welcome, Lori, to Voices of Women.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here today.
Good. Well, it's a great topic to be discussing, getting out of the closet, so to speak, on sexuality. And, you know, we're so inundated particularly the U.S. and Western countries, of sexuality in our face in the media, and, you know, TV and the ads and how to be sexy. Every magazine cover is, you know, 10 steps to be sexy or all that.
Right. And, you know, and it makes aliens, it look so easy. You know?
I know, so easy. And if aliens were to arrive on our planet, they would probably go, wow, this is really a sexy planet. They're really into sex. But in reality, are we really?
Well, I think that what's surprising about sex, when couples get committed or they get married, there's a problem that happens. It's a central problem in the relationship, and I call it the pursuer distancer problem. And within 2 years, this can knock off sex so that couples, about a third of the couples who marry, are not having sex. We call it a sexless marriage. That means less than 10 times a year, or a low sex marriage, which is less than 25 times a year, just within 2 years. And Chris, this is before the stress of children hits a marriage. I mean, this is very early, and I really think it has to do with a relational dynamic.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, when we get married or we commit ourselves to a person, we want something. We want closeness and connection and love, and we want to be loved, and we want sex. But we also retain this other part. We need autonomy and distance and space. We want to be masters of our own ship and kind of fulfill our purpose. And once we get committed in a relationship, those two goals separate into two separate people. So one person is what I call the pursuer. They want closeness and time together and talk to me. And the other person needs more space and distance and autonomy. They often get really involved and interested in their work. They find intensity in life outside of the relationship. Maybe they're a marathon runner or something not as close to the relationship, even though that person may still want sex. And frequently, the male is the emotional distancer, but he really finds closeness and passion in bed, so he'll be the sexual pursuer. And the woman who wants more talk and closeness emotionally, she's not as interested in bed. And it's the way they balance these two needs that causes, I think, the problem right from the beginning. It's not getting busy. It's not being boring. It's this problem.
Well, let's go into that. And what is, I mean, I feel like sometimes when there's problems like that, there's root causes.
Right. And the root cause is really that we come into a relationship with a blueprint about how to be close and how to be sexual. And that blueprint comes from our families of origin. All of us, even kids from great families, you know, there's problems. And we come in with this map that says, this is how you do it. Well, ironically, we find somebody and we commit to marrying them often because they have a map that the fitting of it together with our map kind of matches. And I call it the dark attraction. We know why we're getting together with someone. It's all these great qualities that they have. But there's something underneath that has to do more with our unconscious, what we don't see about ourselves. And that can come from our families. For instance, you know, the person who on the surface is quiet and solid and sensible, kind of the dark side of that is that they really need a lot of space, and they're so quiet that they're shut down in terms of their feelings. What looks stable is really emotionally closed once we get married. Or maybe what looks vivacious and exciting to us and really sexy, once we get married, it feels chaotic, out of control. And that dark shadow piece is only evident once we are in the commitment. Almost once those doors close behind it, that's when we begin to see the shadow. And that can really stop sex.
Uh-huh. So what do you think? That whole thing of just, you know, getting married is like subconsciously we think, well, now I'm stuck. This is the person I'm supposed to be with the rest of my life. Or, you know, what goes on with that sense of, you know, you hear that talk about changes when you get married.
Right. I really think marriage is the unveiling. It's that commitment that causes us to kind of start to lose our blinders about who the other person is. I feel very hopeful about marriage as a path for happiness and a path for personal growth. So there's three stages that I think happens. One stage is we fall in love. We believe we've married the prince or the princess. Our needs are met with abundance. And then the second stage is we fall out of love. We believe we've married the frog. You know, the hallmark of that stage, of the power struggle stage, when we're struggling with each other, is we look at our partner and we say, I guess I've just married a selfish person. And each person points the finger at the other and says, you're selfish. And in order to preserve the self, people cut a hole up, they stop meeting the needs of their partner because they think, I don't have enough to go around, and you're not meeting my needs, so why should I meet your needs? And it becomes a power struggle. And then the third stage, which I think is obviously most helpful, is our blinders are stripped away. We realize we've married a human being who has needs and a few warts. And at that stage, we commit to meeting the needs of our partner in ways that they need their needs met. And by doing that, we become more whole people. For instance, let's say it's a woman who says, you know, my husband needs sex all the time. If I meet his needs for sex, he's not going to care about my needs. He's just going to walk away happy, and I'll be left with nothing. But once she commits to not just laying down and thinking of England and, you know, meeting his needs sexually, but once she commits to what he really needs, which is her to develop her eroticism and have the erotic core that is strong, two things she'll find. One is that it starts a reciprocal cycle where his needs are met, and then he in turn has more space and ability to meet her needs. Her life is better, right? I mean, if we have an erotic core, there's something to look forward to. Life is spicy. And so both things happen. We develop personally, and the relationship gets strong and much better.
And what you're talking about is communication.
Yes, I think that's an important part of how we do this. You know, how do we talk about our needs? And usually what happens is the pursuing person who wants more closeness becomes really critical. They start saying, this is what you don't give me. You don't give me enough sex, right? You don't give me enough time. And the distancer basically shuts down. They become compliant. They say, okay, I'll do whatever you want. But then somehow or another, they don't. They overpromise and they underdeliver. And that creates a sense of you're not a reliable partner and I can't count on you, and the whole thing is off to the races. So you're right. In terms of how we communicate our needs, very important.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that we are going to come back and talk about this more. This is Chris Stainis. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more on the subject with Lori Watson.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com. Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Saskia has been helping clients around the world find the North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. Visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams, or to schedule your Soul Breakthrough Session with Saskia, or call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861. Or visit YourSoulGuidance.com. That's YourSoulGuidance.com to receive the Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 days.
Have you ever considered what money and sex have in common? Brenda St. Louis, founder of Know That You Know, explores the energies of debt, money, sex, and our bodies. In her four-week intensive Debt Into Delight, Getting Intimate with Your Digits, she tickles all those places we don't want to look at, infusing everything with exuberance. Would you be willing to have more money? Would you be willing to have more of you? Explore more of Brenda St. Louis at knowthatyouknow.com.
Women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and we're talking with Lori Watson, who's the author of Wanting Sex Again. And first, maybe you could share like why you wrote the book. We're kind of talking about that subject. It's obviously a need in our society for this. And
yes, you're right. You know, 40 million women identify themselves as having low libido. That's about 40% of our population. So it is a huge need, and I would say that I get scads of phone calls every week, and women tend to say the same thing. They say, you know, Lori, I would be happy if I never had sex again. They say that over and over.
Yeah, I was just with friends last night, and they were saying they're not in relationships right now, and they don't miss it. They miss the cuddling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that kind of intimacy, but not sex.
Right, right. And I guess the question would be is, you know, what does that mean? What does low libido mean? And there's several reasons for it, and I do a quick triage when I meet with a couple or meet with a woman. Usually the woman calls me first, and by the way, I do Skype, so I do Skype counseling across the county. And across the country. But the first thing that I ask women is, are you reaching a climax? That's the most important thing I want to know, because without that, she's really not going to have libido. Then I want to know, you know, does she have any pain, sexual pain problems? There are young women problems that happen. They can have pain with sexual intercourse. There are all kinds of issues with that. You can't even imagine what we deal with women who cannot have intercourse at all. That's called vaginismus, or for whatever reason, they just develop a pain during it, and that's a problem. Or like menopausal women, they can be drier or thinner, and they have pain. And the good news is we have lots of fixes for that. But I always want to check out kind of their physiology, and I'll ask them, how many times do you think about sex a month? And men may be thinking about sex, you know, 17 times a day. But women, if they give me the answer that they think about sex twice a month, that to me, believe it or not, is a good answer. Because then I know I can help them bridge that amount of desire into an initiating experience. Women are really have more receptive desire. They respond to their partner kind of initiating and seducing them and bringing that energy to the bedroom. Then they think, okay, you know, maybe I can do it. Also, I always, you know, if a couple doesn't have a close emotional relationship, then that I know is the root problem oftentimes, let alone maybe a few other issues that are going on. But the emotional connection, and maybe also I ask, you know, what kind of drugs are you taking? Sometimes women who are overwhelmed with life take antidepressants, and they don't know that antidepressants almost always shut down libido. And they also make it harder for her to get aroused. So those are kind of the questions I go through with the woman to figure out what's happening.
Yeah, and there's often a lot happening.
And right, and women don't fall neatly into categories.
No, but I also think they don't, you know, one of the things is it takes a lot to get to a sex therapist that probably they've gone through years of, there's so much shame around talking about it, to admit
right.
that you're having a sexual problem.
Right.
You don't share it with even your closest friends because
That's
you don't want
true.
That image, like, you know, and so even by the time they've come to you, they're pretty desperate.
And I think it's really scary to think about contacting a sex therapist. We have
yeah.
in our minds this image of Barbara Streisand in Meet the Fockers, and you know, she's this flowy, weird person. And so it's frightening. I think most women turn to their gynecologists. And I will tell you that I am the only hour of education that OBGYN residents get at Duke. And there's 1 hour. And oftentimes, our gynecologists are not, most of the time, they are not trained in sexual functioning. And so then the gynecologist hands them a card and says, oh, call the sex therapist. And it's like, okay, great. I just worked up all this courage to tell
yeah.
you something that I have not told anybody, and now you want me to go tell someone else, and they're a sex therapist, and I don't know what that means. It's really scary. It's
yes.
hard to get help.
Yes. But, you know, once someone has reached out and made that call, you've crossed that bridge, at least, and you
right.
start talking. Because I think with the talking and sharing comes the healing. You finally release, you know, and releases the shame when you
it does.
Start talking about it. it's kind of like a relief of, oh, okay, you know, someone's listened to me. I've got this out. I don't have to hold it. Because holding it in yourselves is really hard.
It is. And, you know, I think women want to be reassured. I mean, so much of what they're going through is something that other people have gone through and there are solutions for. And I think that once clients meet me, oftentimes they leave the session saying, you know what, that was much easier than I thought it was going to be. You're much more normal than I thought you were going to be. It seems like you're talking to, you know, a girlfriend or the girl next door, and it's not as scary as it seemed.
Well, what's the first step that you have people do?
The first thing I have them do is they come into my office, and my office looks just like a living room. People are really frightened about that one. You know, what is it going to look like? There's no nudity. There's no physical exams and a sex therapy appointment. It's all talk therapy. And by that time, you know, I do have them fill out some forms, but I just want them to tell me what the problem is. What's hurting them? Why are they there? And so maybe we chit-chat. You know, I live in the South, so there's always a little chit-chat in every first encounter. You know, you talk about the weather, and you talk about a little bit other things. And then I say, you know, tell me the problem. So maybe, you know, a woman will talk about, gosh, you know, sometimes it's easy. You know, I've never told anybody this, and I just want to know if I'm normal in this way. Or I can't reach a climax. Can you help me? And I would say 20% of our practice are women who come in and are not reaching climax. And it's such an easy thing to fix. That, you know, it takes two sessions to tell them about it and to help them work through the knowledge that is necessary to do that. And maybe, you know, then they talk about their relationship. What's going on? You know, do they feel pressured all the time for sex and that kind of shuts them down? Or is their partner mean? You know, I mean, sometimes there's good reasons that women don't want to have sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how, what percentage you say is people that they're just really with the wrong partner?
I think it's a small percentage. I mean, I have tremendous hope. Sometimes, and that is the last chapter of my book, Wanting Sex Again. I talk about when not wanting sex really is signifying the end of a relationship. And much of that is trying to figure out when it's very unworkable. I go through two examples. One is of a woman who has been in a long marriage to a man who is really, truly closed down. He had PTSD from the Vietnam War, and the only way he could connect with her was sexually, and he gave her nothing emotionally, and this was years and years and years of this. And then the other was of a pathological, jealous person who, from early in the relationship, he tried to control her, and he was jealous of every encounter that she had, not just with the opposite sex, but with her family, with her friends, at her work. And, you know, one thing kind of bloomed into the next, and by the time she got to me, it was clear that he was controlling and maybe even dangerous. And, you know, this sex thing that was between them, you know, he would call her terrible names. She couldn't express her desires. If she did, you know, he would call her a terrible name. And if she didn't, he would call her another terrible name. It was a real double bind. Mm-hmm. And those kinds of relationships, the woman should get out. But not many of them really come down to that. Most of them are caught in this power struggle stage, thinking that their partner is really selfish. And selfish is different than pathological.
Yes. And let's talk about this power struggle. We just have a couple of minutes before we go to break again. But,
okay.
I mean, a power struggle is, to me, that speaks of a control. You know, like,
yeah.
I want to be in control. And what it speaks to is being, they're really in fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I think that the fearfulness is that I'm going to be used up by my partner, by my selfish partner. If I give to them, you know, they will just take. You know, the woman who traditionally is the sexual distancer and the emotional pursuer says, you know, if I give him sex as often as he wants it, he's going to be happy. He's going to go off to work even more, and he's not going to help me with the children. He's not going to care about going out with me or talk to me. And a man will say essentially the same thing. You know, if I talked to her as much as she wanted, I would never get anything done. She would absorb me. And when we try to talk, all she wants to do is complain about the things I'm not doing for her. She wants to criticize me about how little I give her. And I feel so overwhelmed by that. I feel so suffocated by her need that I just, you know, I want to back off. And so you're right about this fear of being controlled. I think that's a good way to say it.
Well, even the person who's controlling, I think, comes from fear, too. A fear of being vulnerable. So
yes.
they hold on to the control because they don't have to go into their vulnerability, you know, true feelings.
Right. And I think the fear for the pursuer, the person who seems to be critical, their fear is ultimately of being abandoned, of not having enough in life. And the person who is the distancer, their fear is of being suffocated by the other, you know, being consumed by the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want people to know that we're giving two of Lori's books away, Wanting Sex Again. If you call the station at 1-800-930-2819, you'll talk to our radio person there at the station at 800-930-2819, and it'll get your details, address, and we will mail out two books. So this is Chris Stainis. You're listening to Voices of Woman, and we're going to come back soon and explore more on this topic with Lori Watson.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Hi, I'm Michelle Bond. I'm the Vedic astrologer who shines a light on what you put into your body. Sugar is getting a bad rap these days, being linked to causing diabetes, obesity, heart disease, and cancers. A big culprit is a soda we drink, which has 16 teaspoons of sugar in a 20-ounce glass. Diet drinks, while low in sugar, have aspartame, which is a toxin the body breaks down into formaldehyde. And formaldehyde is used in embalming people, and it causes cancer. So instead, drink organic kombucha, K-O-M-B-U-C-H-A. It is good for you, and depending on how it is sweetened, will only have 2 to 8 teaspoons of sugar in a 20-ounce glass, and is naturally carbonated, so you will get your fizzy fix. For more information and to experience an aha moment, join me on my show, The Michelle Bond Show, Awaken to a New Reality, every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Or go to my website, TheMichelleBondShow.com.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz, each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having.
What if you could teach your child how to follow their own wisdom and make trustworthy decisions? The hit radio show Teaching from the Heart with Julie Kay does just that. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn practical and spiritual ways to teach young people how to become confident in who they are. Each week, Julie takes on tough topics that most parents dread, like bullying, peer pressure, self-esteem, social media, relationships, and even poor grades. For more information about Julie Kay, visit MindFocusGeneration.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Welcome back to Voices of Women, and that was Lorraine Bays singing from the Woman of Wisdom CD, which you can purchase on our website at www.womenofwisdom.org. And Lori, could you give your contact information, your websites, where people can find you and your book?
Sure, they can find me at loriwatson.com, and that also has all my social media contacts. I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter. My Twitter account is Ask Lori Watson. I'd love to have you follow me. And Facebook is loriwatson.sextherapist, and that's pretty easy to find. It shows my picture. But, you know, the easiest way is just Google Lori Watson or go to my website, and it'll hook you up with all my social media.
Great. And your book, and it's probably available on your website. It's also available, you know, you can always get any book at Amazon.
So. Right. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's in Barnes & Noble and many bookstores everywhere. So Wanting Sex Again is out there.
Great. And I know in the book there's lots of personal examples. I mean, you don't talk about it's anonymous, and you know, that. But
sure.
I think it's important to read those other stories because you can see yourself in it. And you see, when you realize that, well, you're not the only one, there's less shame with that.
Oh, I think so, too. And I wrote the book the way I kind of like to learn. I love to hear other people's scenarios, what they're going through. And it, I just think it's comforting that way.
Yes. Yeah. So, so we were talking about how women don't, a lot of women don't have a very large libido. They're not wanting sex anymore. But that's I think there's two groups. One group that, well, there's probably more, but I'm not the expert. You are, but those who just don't care, they don't want sex anymore. I mean, there's ones who are aware they have a low libido, and that, but they want to have that back.
Right. You know, so many women who say I don't want sex again, or I never really want sex, they say with some grief, but I remember a time I did want it. And I remember a time that I felt this, and I wish I could feel that again. You know, sometimes they come in because the partnership has been disrupted, but often what they find is there are pressures other than the partnership that can be a very big factor, but that are inside that have kind of obscured their desire. You know, the other thing I wanted to say is, why, when we were young, did we feel it so frequently? And the reason is, it is not our bodies when we are young, because women have a very low level of testosterone, which is kind of the governing hormone on physiological desire. But they, you know, when they were young, they would wake up in the morning, they'd think, oh, I have this really great date, and I'm going to shave my legs and put on something sexy underneath my clothes, and by noon they're kind of fantasizing about the date, and by mid-afternoon they're bored at work or school. Then they go ahead and they fantasize and set aside a long time, usually 6 hours of time for a date, and they have cocktails and drinks and there's innuendo, and by the time they get to the sexual experience, they are already aroused. And I tell women, you know what, you can still have that experience if you will think about it and purpose to use your mind as a way to get there. You know, and we, I think, are socialized not to do that as women. We're socialized, especially once we're married, not to really think about sex at all.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I've read this before. It's kind of like, you know, there's the whore and there's the good woman dynamic.
Yeah.
Like if you're married, you have to be in that good woman who it is, and is this the old Victorian era that's still with us? Like,
I think there is so much of it that women are still socialized to look sexy, you know, to really look hot, but we're really not ready for a woman to have her own appetite. And so when women are married, they're waiting on their partner, usually their male partner, to spark their interest. You know, and women, men, I think sometimes because of the pattern of being rejected, they turn down the seduction. You know, what used to be wine and flowers and a night out and sexy words and focus and attention, now, you know, he comes in, he's on the phone, he barely puts it down and he says, so you want to do it? You know, and his seduction is so low that she's not keying off of it anymore. Can't key off of it.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like we think that it's hormones necessarily for women.
You know, I don't think women ever have had enough hormones to be wildly sexual. Our range is a fraction of what the male range is. Men, their range is 1,000 to 300 nanograms per deciliter of testosterone in the blood, and that's the hormone that governs our kind of biological urge. And women, the range is 70 to 2. So a man at a 300 level is really disrupted. You know, he does not function well. He does not think about sex but once a week, and if he has a fight with his wife, he doesn't want to do it. And now the top of the range for a woman is 70, and that's when she's 18. By the time she's 40, that's in half. So her good testosterone level would be one-tenth of what a low male testosterone level would be. So that's why it's never really in our bodies. It's always been in our minds and in our imaginations.
And so that's one thing you bring out in the book is to develop the fantasies.
That's right. Because thinking about it and using our memories and our imagination is really the way we can help ourselves get to that feeling of wanting it. That is the secret. And I think we have to, you know, how do we do that? One way I like to say is we can glean. You know, our culture is sex saturated. So listening to the radio show, right? Listening to the sexy song or the love story on television, or we read an erotic book, or taking a little bit of time and planning. You know, something that we're planning often is part of a fantasy. You know, women will tell me the umpteenth detail about the plan that they had for their child's birthday party, you know, down to just an incredible level of detail and how excited they are. Well, if they would spend, you know, even a fraction of that time and energy on planning for a wonderful sexual encounter that is of their liking, that energy would convert to physical arousal and desire.
Well, do you find any of your clients that they do that, but it's not accepted, bringing up their own fantasies or you know, building up this ambiance and their partner doesn't?
I think you're saying something that is also important. Some women who say, I don't want to have sex again, are really more erotic, as it turns out, than their partners. You know, they have suggested things and they've been shot down, or they had sexy ideas that their partner wasn't willing to do, and so they turn down their own desire to kind of be a good match to their partner who just isn't that sexy. And so, yes, sometimes a woman who has more eroticism is really kind of masking that. And she says, you know, I've given up. I'm just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and another aspect is sometimes we have to deal with betrayal.
Yeah.
And, you know, you read about all the affairs. You see the very famous, you know, affairs. But it goes on all over the place. And how you deal with that and how you can – it's going to have impact on your sexual relationship.
That's right. And betrayal is such an intimate wound because it hits us in – an area that we thought was exclusively between us and our partner. And so it's almost like when you find out your partner has cheated, the rug gets pulled out from underneath you. The whole world stops. Many women come in and tell me, you know, I got lost getting to your office because even though I'm good with directions, after this, I can't even find my way to the grocery store. That's how devastating the effect is on the person's sense of who they are. And I think some women, you know, find out sometimes like their partner might not have an actual partner, but he's using a lot of pornography, and she can feel like that is a way that he is cheating on her or cheating on the marriage. Pornography, I think, is a growing problem because of its accessibility in terms of, you know, how it's impacting our deep relationships.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that, you know, this wasn't 20 years ago, you know, the Playboy that, you know, maybe looked at several times was not the same as the internet, where they're seeing live sex and it's open to, you know, chat rooms. And I mean, it's really a different world, and there's a lot more temptation to be away from the marriage.
Yeah. And it's avoiding it instead of, you know, going and, you know, and making a true desire to fix things, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's evading it and just going off and not doing anything about it except some unhealthy practices. But what do you think about pornography as a joint thing, a couple together? Is there some good pornography that's helpful in the erotic zones?
You know, there's very little pornography out there that women kind of tune into, because women sort of like to put themselves into a scenario. And unfortunately, they rule that out. They say, well, I don't look like her, that there's not enough story. There's not enough warm-up. Just seeing flesh on flesh doesn't really do it for me. I mean, I think that it is possible that a woman could watch pornography and feel turned on, absolutely. And especially if she, you know, feels comfortable with that with her partner. But much of what I hear is, you know, there's just not something out there that women relate to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I heard there are some women directors who have done some that cater to what a woman would be more aroused by. But that's getting into a whole other topic. This wasn't a topic on pornography.
Right.
I'm just curious on your take of that, because it can be very damaging. But I didn't know if there was some things out there that are helpful as a couple together.
I would say that, you know, we've done an experiment with women watching porn, and we wired them up, and we kind of watched their bodies against their own feelings of subjective arousal. And what we found was that women would feel physiologically aroused by watching various aspects of pornography, but they would not push the button that said they, in their minds, they felt aroused. Whereas the male subjects in the experiment, if they started to have arousal, then they would push the button. You know, watching porn, they were wired well. Their minds and their bodies worked well together, whereas women could watch it and their body might be responding, but they didn't feel their mind didn't kick in.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and when we return, we'll continue our conversation with Lori Watson.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer, and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up, that helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
that nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Michelle Bond Show. Awaken to a new reality. Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. This call-in show with Vedic astrologer, expert, and holistic health practitioner, Michelle Bond, will give you insight to a wide range of topics. This hit show provides healthy, empowering knowledge and information and restores your health and well-being through learning the latest complementary and alternative medicine modalities. Visit themichellebondshow.com.
Women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I wanted to remind people that we're giving away two of Lori's books, Wanting Sex Again. Just call 800-930-2819. And I'm you know, it's a very good book. I want to put that out there. I recommend people getting the book. So, Lori, we wanted to go more a little bit into menopausal women. I know probably a lot of people in the audience. I mean, we've got the baby boomers. So, we're, you know, a lot of us are in menopause or postmenopausal. And there is a lot of physical things that happen that affect your sexuality.
That's right. You know, we lose even more testosterone in menopause, and we lose estrogen, too. So, you know, the big thing is as we go through menopause, it impacts our actual physiology and how we feel about our bodies changes. You know, for instance, we're often tired because we're having hot flashes at night, and sex can become more difficult because we're a little drier and less lubricated, and our tissue gets thinner. That's the main issue with losing estrogen, is the hot flashes and the changes to our genitals. And this women think, you know, sometimes they think there's nothing I can do about it. There was a study released a while ago called the Women's Health Initiative, and it scared everybody off of hormones. However, I would like to say that that study has been reworked, and I think that hormones for women are available and safe for lots of women who, you know, are talked to by their doctor. So, you know, if you're struggling with menopause, please have another conversation with your doctor about whether or not you're a candidate for hormones, because this can really help, you know, especially with intercourse itself. You know, an estrogen cream is often just the ticket and can make it comfortable again. And that is a fast, quick tip that will help many, many women out there, just to think about that. It doesn't often raise systemic estrogen, and it's very safe. So talk to your doctor to see what your doctor says about your specific case.
Yeah, and there's also, like with natural pads, you can get the bioidentical hormones
right,
that are a little safer, too. And I've used the cream, too, because it has helped. I mean, it's just something that we, you know, it happens. We get older and our bodies change, and rather than just not do anything about it and just say, okay, I'm not going to have sex again ever, there are some things, and it is, yeah, talk to your doctor or to go somewhere. So
absolutely. And I think just when our bodies are changing, our partner's bodies are changing, and sometimes they're not as easily aroused. And women, the one thing I would say to, you know, women is don't take it personally. It probably isn't about you. It's probably about his own changing physiology. You know, but we think we kind of have to be magicians, and he should look at us across the room and levitate, right? But sometimes his own physiology or the medicines he's on or his aging change the way he responds. And couples need to talk about that, you know, especially if she gets worried, well, you know, are you not attracted to me or what does this mean? It's usually not that. It's usually just the changes. And right when she's feeling a little drier and he's not working as well, we have to learn to be flexible in the way we make love so that we can keep on having that joy and deep physiological and physical connection.
I've read too. I remember just in the recently seeing articles that it's important for your health, having orgasms, having a sexual relationship is, it does things physiologically to you, you know, whether,
right.
I can't remember all of this, it's just that it is important for your health. And actually, if you have sex more often, like maybe twice a week or whatever it is, the studies say, well, you'll live 4 years longer or whatever it is. I mean, you know,
that's
things
right.
like that, that it's,
that's
it
right,
is,
it releases oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone. So we actually feel connected and attached to our partner. And it is a stress reliever. It lowers blood pressure. I mean, it does a wonderful thing. And for women, twice a week, as long as she reaches a climax, that actually feeds her desire to have it again. So she needs, it's funny, but women need it to have it. And also the other thing that happens for women is sometimes we don't have the initial prompting, but after we get going, we think, you know what, I'm really glad I'm doing this. I feel it now. Mm-hmm. And that's a natural pattern. That's a fine pattern. You know, if she can realize that for her, she wants to, after she's started, instead of thinking she needs to come to the bed craving it, but she can just come to the bed thinking, you know what, I know I feel better afterwards. I know that we feel closer, and just rely on the actual physical stimulation to get her to the point of desire. Desire can come second for her.
And menopause. And you're talking about, because sometimes we sort of overemphasize the climax and having an orgasm, and yet you're saying that's important.
You know, I think it's really important for creating desire and for her own stress relief and attachment issues. But, you know, not every night is she going to want it. Maybe she just knows, this is not my night. And I think that's the woman's call. I think as a pattern, it's something to be examined and really thought about. But, you know, on an off night, and she says, you know, I just want to be close, and I don't have the energy for it, that's something that he should trust her to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we know there are tools. There's vibrators that can help you in having that climax, too. That
absolutely. And 60% of all American women own a vibrator. It is not, you know, necessarily a wild sex toy anymore. And there's ones that look just like massagers that, you know, if you die and your children find it, they're not going to necessarily know what you were using it for. So it's fine to use this. And I think it's a shortcut for slower patterns of arousal, especially as we reach menopause. It helps us get there faster. And, you know, it helps us get up the hill. And so as we get up the hill, desire kicks in, and then we want to keep going. And this is one great, fabulous shortcut.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was great to talk with you today, Lori. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I want to tell people to be sure to check out her book, Wanting Sex Again, and her website, LoriWatson.com. So I want to leave everyone with this thought today. Where are you feeling vulnerable in your relationships? What steps can you take to bring more intimacy into your life? And think about how you can begin to be healthy in your sexual relationship, if that is an issue for you. Not to say everyone is having this issue. So I want to remind people you can sign up for the Women of Wisdom newsletter at www.womenofwisdom.org and find out about our monthly events and what's going on. We're going to be starting to doing some new things. And also looking for columnists for our newsletter. If you have a topic of interest for our readers, you might consider that. Just email us at wow@womenofwisdom.org. And again, our financial campaign, if you're in the state of Washington, to fill out the survey on education, it's going to help us get a grant. We're very close, probably just 35 people away from receiving $2,500. And the deadline is April 28th. And you can find this on our website at womenofwisdom.org on our homepage, or you can go to community forums. Communityforumsnetwork.org, I believe, is the organization. But you can find it on our website, womenofwisdom.org. And also check out my book, the award-winning and Amazon bestseller, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. makes a great gift, and it's a compilation of the many aspects of the divine feminine. Next week, I'll be interviewing Dr. Lanny Leary, author of No One Has to Die Alone. So this is Chris Stainis. Thank you for sharing your time with us today, and I hope everyone has a great weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network.
And Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great, we should spread the word.
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that.
Love is officially in the air. Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show is showing you love all year long, not just for Valentine's Day. Dr. Pat, known for her Pay It Forward manifesto, is now joined by the hosts on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm in love, baby, with Transformation Talk Radio. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. Amazing host, incredible guest. Get your groove on. Feel the love, be the love.
Can't get enough of your stop pain. Lord, some things I can't get used to.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive. Transform your life.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.